Good afternoon, guys, and welcome back to Bump That Media. As we had some technical difficulties, but we're live now, apparently, on the Florida Sports Streams Radio. I'm Mikel Morris here with Evan Bacon Zulik. As we, you know, we've been talking the whole time, let you guys down on our our sports.
We
had a good segment.
We had a really good segment, and I'm really disappointed that it didn't air because we were
cooking.
We had some good talk. We were cooking with high school sports. But hey, what's in the past is in the past. Right now, it's the present. We are back. We are live.
We'll give you a quick recap as we're going to head into our Tampa Bay Rays update. But before we do that, we're going to give you a quick recap on what happened. We went over our week three recap, which had Lakewood defeating Clearwater and Bogey losing to the Packers. But, you know, they'll bounce back. You know, we talked about how Bogey on the bye week should bounce back next week and be a better team. Our rankings for this week is CCC at 1, number 2, Largo, number 3, Calvary, number 4, Tarpon, number 5, St. Pete, number 6, Lakewood, 7, Clearwater, 8, Northside, 9, Pea Park, 10, Osceola, 11, Seminole, 12, Northeast, 13, Bogey, 14, SBC, and 15, Palm Harbor. And this week, our Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection game of the week is Clearwater versus CCC, which we all believe CCC will beat down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's CCC. They're dominant. They're the team to watch this year, as they are most years. They're a great team.
But, yeah, as we switch gears here, we're going to head straight to our MLB update about the Tampa Bay Rays, which was we started off very good last week. Before our last show, we were kind of sad. Didn't get to talk about how Alex Jackson got DFA'd.
Oh, thank God, dude. You know, it feels good. You know, it's just, man, I'm just glad he's gone. You know, I hate to prey on a man's downfall, but I'm this should have happened months ago.
Months. Years.
Years.
Nah, not years.
Millennia. But he's gone. Thank the Lords. There is a God. And, yeah. But other than that, it's been pretty bleak. So what we missed last week.
What did we miss? Well, last week, we were supposed to be live. We weren't here on Friday. But we'll go over our weekend recap as the Rays actually won the series against the first place Orioles, which I thought, oh, yeah, we're back to pushing it. We're going to push back into
and
the
then.
Race. And then the weekday happened. But it started off last Friday. We lost 2-0 against the Orioles, which was, you know, our pitching was there. But, you know, the bats never woke up. Jose Siri never hit his 1-in-a-million home run. Brandon Lau couldn't carry on his back. We lost 2-0 with Shane Boz getting the loss. 6 innings, 2 hits, 1 run. That's a very good stat line. The Orioles opened up the scoring with Jackson Holliday hitting a sack fly to left field in the fifth inning. The man, Gunnar Henderson, has been kind of destroying the baseball all season.
All season.
Hit a home run in right field to give it a 2-0 lead, and we just never fought back. And, you know, we had 3 hits. Everybody else is 0-for-3, 0-for-4. You know, the usual is 0-for-4. Taylor Walls, Caballero. Johnny DeLuca's been hitting it kind of well lately, you know. And I just feel like I don't know what to say about us. I don't know. I don't think we want it anymore.
Yeah,
Kevin Cash says, you know, they still come out there and grind. I don't think they want it anymore.
It's so hard not to repeat the same things, as you can tell. Like, I'm trying to figure out something new to say, but it's the same problems, you know, where we're just inconsistent, and we're consistently inconsistent.
Yeah,
and
that's a constant.
Yeah,
race.
It's just it's terrible. It's horrible right now. Like, we're 72-75. I think it's officially time to just throw in the towel. We really don't have a chance anymore this year, and I hate to say that, you know, and I think, unfortunately, this year, our 5-year postseason streak is going to come to an end.
Maybe even our, what is that? Our winning streak. We haven't been under 500 in some years.
Yeah, I think the last
time. I think we have to go 10-6 to even go 500.
Yeah, 2017, the last time we were under 500 when we were 80 and 82.
Last time we were 500, I was in elementary school. Think about that, man. Like, I've been living the good life.
Yeah, yeah, so was I. It was, and elementary school started middle school.
Yeah. But, Saturday, we won 7-1 against the Warriors. The Bats, it's like once a week, we wake up and say, guys, let's go smash the ball.
And we do.
Which was, it was led off by Yandy Diaz, homer in the first inning, leadoff homer.
First at bat, too. I mean, 1-2 count, no outs. His 14th of the year. Beautiful. And just set the tone for the rest of the game, really.
It set the tone as it got Taylor Walls to wake it up. It hit it over the wall.
Wow. Oh,
Taylor Walls.
Finally did
solo
something.
Shot to right center off of the guy, Zach Efrangosh.
And that home run sealed the game.
Basically
it sealed
did.
The game, yeah. I mean,
once Taylor Walls, we're undefeated when Taylor Walls hits a home run.
Undefeated when Taylor Walls.
1-0.
We are undefeated when Taylor Walls hits a home run. That's true.
And our next scoring opportunity came with Taylor Walls with a single to left field. So I guess Taylor Walls woke up and said, put my defense down today. And wake it back up. So, in the sixth inning, Cedric Mullins hit a homer to right field. That was a lone run that the Baltimore Orioles got. And then the scoring poured on again as our new catcher, the replacement of, what's that guy named? We don't even know his name.
Alex who?
Jackson.
Mike
Alex
Jones?
Jackson.
Who?
Logan Driscoll, the newcomer, with an infield single to bring in a run. And then Yandy Diaz hit a single to right field to get us a 6-1 lead. And then DeLuca scored on a wild pitch from Kimbrel in the ninth inning, which was I feel like this is the raise that we've been looking for all year.
Yeah.
But we can't get it.
I mean, it's the type of performances we were putting up last year when we had Randy and Ezock.
You know, I really haven't – ever since they got traded, I forgot all about them. Like, Randy, I love the guy, but it's just like – When you're not on the Rays anymore, it's like you don't see him much.
No, and I'll tell you what. Every time I see him in a Seattle uniform, it ruins my day. I get sad. I'm like, wow.
And then Ezock, the downfall. I guess the Rays did a good job with the Ezock trade.
Yeah, Ezock hasn't been doing good on Chicago.
It's like we traded Ezock for Ezock back because Morel isn't doing much of anything either.
It's and they're the same age pretty much. I mean,
we got a little bit more time with Morel though.
Yeah. For sure.
Maybe he won't, you know. He just got his high school diploma, though, as we did
see. Wow.
He missed this weekend series against the Orioles because he was getting his diploma back in the DR, which we're very proud of.
That's
you
more
know?
Important than baseball.
More important than three games that we did win the series, you know. So congratulations to him. As we get into Sunday's game, which was a 2-0 win over the Orioles, which our pitching was here again, as always, per usual. Just need the bats. Zach Littell going 5 innings, 3 hits, no earned, 4 Ks. And that's a very good thing with Edwin Ucetta with a 5-out save, 4 Ks, 1 hit. The guy's disgusting. What you think?
He has been good. I mean, Littell, I mean, he's been pretty good this year too. You know, he's not a guy that's going to go 6 innings. You know, he's more of a 5-inning guy like he did today. But I think Littell's been pretty decently consistent this year in pitching. You know, he's been reliable. I mean, obviously he's not a number one guy in any rotation, but I really like Littell. Obviously, he got the job done on this one, and then Ucenta, who we're gonna have to talk about later. But he's been lights out, and
lights out.
He might be taking Pete Verbeek's position next year. We'll see.
Yeah, the Rays, DeLuca. Brought in a 2-run home run in the 6th inning, which brought us this lead. You know, I feel like the Rays pitchers are some of the best in the league. It's kind of hard to pitch when you don't have any run support and you can't pitch with a lead.
Right.
When you're not pitching with a lead, you can't throw what you want. You can't really control the game how these other pitchers do that we play against. That's how we're losing. They need to command the game. And I feel like you get a lead, that's when you get the wins, and that's where the Rays were slacking at this year.
For sure.
And Kevin Cash had an interesting thing this weekend with the lineups, as he's been throwing out some really different lineups, putting Yandy at the 3 spot, the 4 spot. He said, well, the results we're getting from the guys we think should be, we're not getting them. So might as well change it up before the end of the season, which I really like, as Kevin Cash, he's really a He's one of the greatest managers. He's probably the greatest manager in Rays franchise.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think he's our longest tenure. I think he's been here.
He just passed Joe Madden recently.
Joe Madden, yeah. He has the most wins.
Yep.
He's
a player guy, too.
Yeah, I love him. He's from the area. He played for us, too, back in the day. I love Cash. And, you know, I do worry that he might leave after this year.
I think we're good. Well,
sign that extension, but it wouldn't surprise me. Although he is from here, and I know he loves it here, so I believe he'll stay. But that thought is in the back of my head.
Another good thing I like to see is Johnny DeLuca. I think he's hitting like 350 in his past 20 games.
It's good to see
him and Caballero. I've also been hitting very good recently.
I think Cabby's been an underrated pickup this year. I think he's been really good.
Yeah, he'll be gone next year, though.
Yeah, for sure. But but I like what he's been doing this year. I'd love to bring him back.
You know,
we'll see.
Today is September 13th. We probably have 16 games left. I would love to see us call up some guys. Like, we know some guys aren't going to be here next year. Let's call up those guys that we're looking to start next year. Like the shortstop in AAA. I think it's Carson Williams.
Yeah, we've had him for a while.
I think we should bring him up. You know, I think because honestly, I know the other guys are looking. They're trying to still get their reps in because they want to get paid by a different team, like Cabby, Taylor Walls. You know, but I feel like we need to see what the fans need to see it too.
I definitely want to see Carson Williams up. He's been one of our top prospects for a while, and
he's right behind Junior. His number two.
I'm really excited to see. Maybe we'll bring him up. Maybe.
I feel like because we brought up Junior last year, but he was the number one. Well, he was number two behind Jackson Holliday. But I think that's what really excite the team for next year because I think we all know we're kind of out of it now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're not – at this point, I think it's more about development than trying to win games, you know.
And I would like to see Austin Shinton given a chance because the guy can hit.
Yeah.
He just never really got the chance to get consistent reps at the major league level. Which they're giving to Aranda now, which he should have been here. He was supposed to be like our bench guy. He should have been here the whole season too. But I really feel like if we want to look into our development and do what we do best, we got to bring these guys up. But enough of that. Let's get into the week series this week against the Phillies. 3-game set, which we got swept in. Heartbreaker.
Man, and we lost Yusenta. 3-game suspension.
Yep.
For throwing at Castellanos.
Which we know the Rays aren't dirty players. Why do that? And then suspend Kevin Cash? They did a little too much. And you know, Philly has a lot of egos on the team, which I really don't like.
They got a chip on their shoulder, man. They play in Philly. You know, their fans hate them. You know, as much as their fans love them, they hate them just as much. They're there to criticize them. That's the Philly media. That's the Philly fans playing with a chip on their shoulder, you know.
Yeah, our first game, we lost 2-1, which was not even a back and forth. It's just a pitcher's duel, which I feel bad for our pitchers. They have to go through it. I had an opener that game with Cole Sosa opening it up, and then Tyler Alexander coming in for 4 1/3. He gave up one hit, one earned. I think that was a homer. It was a homer given up to Kyle Schwarber. But we weren't really doing much. It was just who's going to get out first.
Right.
And then in the ninth inning, we pitch it for Caballero for the big dog, Brandon Lau. Big dog's got to eat.
Always.
With his 18th homer of the season.
Hits that game-tying one.
Game-tying. It should have been robbed. It wasn't a home run at first. His jump made the ball go over the fence, which is kind of awkward. But Brandon Lau ties it up for us. And then that final inning, we bring in Garrett Clevenger and you know, he's been looking good all season.
Right.
But sometimes it's not our day. And the Phillies got the best of them as Cody Clemens singles to right field, which brings in Bryce Harper. And that's game over.
Yeah. Next game. This one, I mean, Phillies started the scoring. Kyle Schwarber hit his 35th home run of the year.
35
to center field. And, you know, we fought back at first. We tied it. It was back and forth the first couple innings. And then once it hit the sixth inning, we tied it. Seventh inning. And then bottom of the eighth, they just blew it up. You know, Philly took the lead, and they ran with it. And they ended up scoring 5 in the eighth. That was enough to seal the deal. They won 9-4, and this is the game where all the controversy happened, where
his ERA went up to 1.49 after this, giving up 3 earned and 4 hits. And I just feel like, you know, that's one outing. You know, he's had, what, I think over 20-plus outings this year.
Yeah, he's been lights out.
You can't really be mad at this type of stuff because, I mean, this is the one game where the bats kind of showed like they wanted to win. But 5 runs in the 8th inning, you're not really coming back from that, which is kind of a tough one to see. Then seeing him get thrown out the game because, I mean, unfortunately, it was Nick Castellanos. Had he hit anybody else but him or Bryce Harper, it probably would be no problem.
Yeah, you can't hit Castellanos. I mean, that's...
He's like a big crybaby.
Yeah, big crybaby, yeah. And anytime something bad happens, he's there to come up and homer.
Yeah, you know? He's there as we transition into 9-11, the Wednesday game, which I was here at Fergus watching. In the first inning, the Rays lost this one 3-2, but the first inning, Nick Castellanos, what did he do on 9-11?
He homered. His 20th of the year on the 23rd anniversary.
23rd.
Of 9-11.
Yeah, but then the next inning, the Rays tried to push back. Taylor Walls hit a single in the right field, bringing in Dylan Carlson, which was a 2-out hit. Taylor Walls with another hit. Maybe Taylor Walls getting hot, maybe?
Maybe. Maybe he's the future at shortstop.
No.
No way. No.
I mean, he might be the future defensive player of the year somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But not for the Rays. And then Jonathan Aranda around the bases.
Wrong button. Oh.
Oop.
There we go.
Beginner's luck.
Finally found the right button there.
Yeah. But in the 6th inning, the Phillies score again, making it a 3-2 game. And they really just took control after that. The Phillies have a really good bullpen. And Matt Strom, I think he's an all-star caliber pitcher. Then Jose Alvarado, our old guy. And then Carlos Estevez to finish off the game. But we get swept by the Phillies, which was a heartbreaker.
Painful, I mean.
You know, we were pushing back. And this set us back 3 more games. We were like 5 away. I think right now... We stand after yesterday's game. We stand 6.5 back at a wild card. But we're not done with a weekly recap as we did beat the Guardians last night, which was a good feeling.
5-2.
I mean, I feel like we're so good against the Guardians, but not good against everybody else.
I mean, we always seem to get wins when they matter the least. You know, it's
that's the problem.
After, you know, we get swept, and it's just like. Why can't we win? Why can't we just stay consistent at winning instead of consistent at being inconsistent? I mean, I still can't get over the fact that we sweep the Red Hot Diamondbacks and then split the series with the A's. Like, I don't understand stuff like that. You know, baseball's such a weird sport, but you know, the Rays it's just been a very disappointing year. We can somehow manage to beat a first-place team can't do good against one of the worst teams in the league, last place.
Last night was a 5-2 final. Ryan Pepiot started the game off. He went 2 innings, and then Cassius took him out, apparently. Yeah. No injuries. He just said it was his decision to take him out after 38 pitches in 2 innings, which is kind of awkward. You know, I think there's more to that story. I feel like it's got to be something else because we're not taking out our starter, especially not on a – It wasn't a scheduled bullpen day, which turned into a bullpen day. But then Cole Sosa came in, pitched 3 innings, 3 perfect almost innings. 1 walk, no hits, 4 Ks, threw 46 pitches from our bullpen guy. Then Mason Montgomery come in, then Clevinger, then Manny Rodriguez, and Richard Lovely. Also pulling him, we're down a bullpen player, what you said on suspension, right. Serving his final game of a 2-game suspension. It's kind of awkward for Cash to do that, but... You know, you can't question things like this when you win the game.
Right. And so going into tonight, 7:10 p.m. in Cleveland, we got Zach Littell versus Tanner Beebe tonight. So should be a solid pitching matchup. Hopefully we can squeeze the win out. But no
I think the key to the stopping the Guardians is stopping Jose Ramirez.
Yeah.
That's 34 home runs, 106 RBIs. That's a lot.
Jose Ramirez is him. He's that guy, you know, I mean. he's been consistently one of the best third basemen in the league since he got here, you know, for the past 10 years. So Jose Ramirez is definitely their best bat, and we're definitely going to need to stop him. And they also have a lot of little bats. You can't forget about Stephen Kwan.
Josh Naylor.
Yeah, Josh Naylor, another guy. These guys have all been great. I mean, Cleveland's just been great all year in general.
Yeah, to keep going with this, the Rays have a 6-10 start on Saturday against the Guardians, and then a 1-40 start. Saturday, the pitching matchup is undecided for the Rays because, you know, we never know who's going to go out there. But whoever goes out there is going to throw a good game. We shouldn't put out probable pitchers. We should put out probable hitters.
Because
we know whoever goes out and pitches, they're going to do their job.
Right.
We need to know who's going to be out there to hit. That's what we need to know. And then on Sunday, we have the man, Taj Bradley, with a 6-10 record. Wouldn't have expected this at the end of June.
Yeah, I mean, he was doing great, and he's been definitely struggling as of late. But, you know, it happens. It's his not even first full year. He was hurt at the beginning. You know, I believe in Taj. I think we'll bounce back. You know, the struggle's been real. The struggle's been real for the whole team. You know, honestly, if there's any time to struggle, it's to struggle with your boys. It's to struggle with the team. It's better, you know. So I believe in Taj. I think he's going to come out and have a good outing, despite how much he's been struggling in his last few starts.
Yeah, it's just really upsetting to see, because he was lights out during all of June.
And
he gave up 9 runs in all of June, and then his next outing gave up 9.
His last 7 games, he's 0-5 with an 8.42 ERA.
And we know he's better than
this. We know that.
And I feel like, you know, once after the season's over, he can reset, get his mind back right.
Yeah.
Because I've met personally with Todd.
Oh, Bradley, I've met him too. He's a great guy.
He's so laid back and chill. Yeah. After this, before spring training comes back, he'll probably be by himself. Probably look at what he could have done better, fix things, come back in spring training, and really be that top guy with him and McClanahan at the top of the rotation next year.
We'll definitely
We're ready to see.
We're ready. I'm ready to see us. I'm just ready to put this year in the past and get ready for next year, you know?
Yeah, as we get ready for next year, we can look at this year's standings, which the American League standings are the Yankees at the top, 85-62. The Orioles, 2 games back, 83-64. The Red Sox, 11 games back, 74-73. And the Rays are 72-75, 13 games back of the AL East. With the Toronto Blue Jays, 69-78, 16 games back. I think the Blue Jays, been tough for them.
Just thank God we're not the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I would hate to be the Blue Jays. But also, the leader of the AL Central is the Cleveland Guardians, who are 85-63. And 4 games behind them are the Kansas City Royals, who are 80-67, which they're going back and forth. The Royals just swept the Guardians, but they went on a 7-game losing streak,
right,
which set them back very far. Then the leader of the AL West, which we wouldn't think would be this way, in about May when the Astros were as bad as the Rays.
I said it earlier in the year, man. People always doubt the Astros. You hate to see them do it, but I knew the Astros were going to get it together by the end of the year. I mean, it's Houston. They always find a way.
Their division is pretty weak, you know.
Their division is pretty weak, but still, man, the Astros will always find a way to sneak in. That's why everybody hates them and the cheating scandal. But, you know, that's the thing. I mean, they did the same thing last year where they came from behind and ended up winning the division. And the past 6-7 years they've been in the ALCS every single year. The last time they weren't was 2016, which is the last time they didn't make the playoffs. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them in the CS again this year.
Yeah, they are 78-68, leading the AL West, as the Mariners are 4.5 behind, 74-73. And as we go into the National League, we'll keep telling you the top two. The Phillies are 88-58 with the best record in MLB. And the Mets are 8 games back, 80-66, which the Mets were kind of pushing up, but the Phillies, they just keep winning. And it's kind of hard to catch up when the team in front of you keeps winning. In the NL Central, the Brewers are 84-62, 9 games ahead of the Chicago Cubs, who are 75-71, looking for a playoff spot. And in the AL West, probably the other toughest division other than the AL East, which the Dodgers are 87-59, 5 games ahead of the Diamondbacks, 82-64, and 5.5 games ahead of the Padres, 82-65. We have some teams eliminated from playoff contention already, though, as the Marlins are eliminated. They're close to 100 loss season, which is kind of rough. The same record as them, the Colorado Rockies, are also eliminated. The Los Angeles Angels are eliminated after Mike Trout got hurt.
Right. We knew that was happening. You know, coming back on to the Marlins, going into this year, they had some expectations. You know, they had a solid. They got to the playoffs last year.
Wild card.
You know, they had a good year last year, and then this year, just the beginning, they had that terrible start and were just never able to recover. And then they traded everyone after that.
Their pitchers got Alcantara out for the season with Tommy John. Edward Cabrera didn't really play up to his expectations.
I didn't expect this. I thought the Marlins might have had a solid shot to make the postseason again this year, and clearly that didn't work out, fortunately.
I think the surprise here is the Atlanta Braves. After losing Acuña, they just fell off really hard. They're 9 games back of the East.
I think every one of their starters has been on the IL this year, every single one of them at some point.
Yeah, but the Rays can say this.
Yeah.
And then our other eliminated people are the Chicago White Sox with 114 losses.
Historically bad.
I think they might break the loss record if they haven't already. But let's go into the wild card before we move on to our next segment. In the wild card, the Orioles hold the first spot. Behind them are the Kansas City Royals. And then behind them are the Minnesota Twins, who hold that last wild card spot, which the Detroit Tigers are 3.5 back of. The Red Sox are 4.5 back, and the Mariners are 4.5 back, which I hope the Mariners can surge in, because I want to see Randy play in the
postseason. I want to see Randy play in the postseason again, too. I mean, he's fantastic in the postseason. That's when Randy's best form comes out, is under the lights, when it matters. Randy is him.
Yeah, and then your Tampa Bay Rays are 6.5 games back of the wild card spot, which is kind of be rough for them to get back into, especially with a negative 59 run differential, which is terrible. And the Texas Rangers are 7.5 games back, but they're done because Corey Seager just got breaking news that he's out for the rest of the season with a sports hernia surgery that he has to get. So winning the World Series and then not being close to the playoffs, it's kind of a hard fall off, but every year you can't be great, and that's just a good thing about baseball, is every year something different.
It's always different, man. I mean, I think the postseason this year is going to be interesting, especially if the Mets can slide in there. It would definitely be very interesting. We could see the Royals back in the postseason this year, which is looking like we are for the first time since 2015, where they won the World Series. So that
also shows how the MLB is very weird compared to all the other sports.
Yeah, for sure.
As we get close to flipping into other sports, the National League wild card, Arizona leads with a 2-game up against San Diego. And then San Diego's 1.5 games up of the Mets, who have the final wild card spot, which is ATL. The Braves are 1 game back of that final wild card spot. And then the Cubs are 5 games back. The Cardinals are 6 games back. The Giants are 8.5 games back. And, really, it's between the Mets and the Braves who will really take that last wild card spot, unless the Cubs can surge.
Yeah.
Maybe Esau gets on a nice run with Belly.
Maybe.
But it's going to take a lot to get back into it with about approximately 15 games left in the season, 17 calendar days. But nothing's impossible in a game of baseball. You can go on a 16-game win. The Rays went on a 14-game win.
Hey, we could. It's possible. Yeah, it's possible.
Not with this team, no.
I got to agree
with that. But it's possible for some teams.
Yeah, some teams.
And, you know, as we wrap up the MLB sports recap, we're going to get into some college football talk as we get into that. You know, last week was a very interesting week as the Colorado-Nebraska, going back and forth, the USF and Alabama
it
game.
Was,
you want to start off with that one?
Man, I mean, that game, that was something for a while, you know, and then it just looked like USF was just fighting. They were fighting until... Was it like midway through the third quarter when Bama just like ended up going off?
Yeah, it was 14-13.
Yeah,
until the fourth quarter, which Bama scored 28 points and just stomped right over them. Most people would say.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised when I checked the score again, and it was how much they had won by 14 to or 16-42, you know, especially how USF had kept it close. And they did the same thing last year. You know, that Alabama barely beat USF last year.
Yeah.
But this
barely
year,
any points. 17-3, I think it was.
But then this year they ended up handling business in the fourth quarter. So.
Yeah, USF quarterback, as I was watching this game, I noticed he can actually run. Like, I feel like the USF offense is under great hands with Alex Golish.
Yeah.
And the quarterback actually had more rushing attempts than passes completed. Had 23 rushes for 108 yards and 15 for 35 for 103 yards. So that's something to look at as other teams get to play USF. I think USF has UCF on the schedule this year, which could boost their rankings. But a loss to Alabama like this isn't that bad. I feel like they have a lot that they can really look onto that was very good from this game.
Yeah, USF is going to have a good year. They had a great, they had a solid year last year, and I think they're going to continue and be even better this year.
Other sports games from Florida. Miami dominated Florida A&M 56-9, which Largo Packer alumni Adarius Hayes had an interception in his first career game, which was very cool to see. Another headline, Texas versus Michigan, which was just a beatdown on Michigan, which in Michigan, too, at that. How do you feel about that one?
I mean, definitely surprising. Definitely didn't expect it to be a blowout. That would be a good contested game, but Texas, they took care of business. And Quinn Ewers, 3 touchdowns. And I think Texas, I think they're my pick for the national championship this year.
Ooh, hot take. I don't know about that one. But one of the closer to almost upsets, Penn State winning against Bowling Green 34-27, which Bowling Green was up most of this game.
You know, yeah. I mean, Penn State barely able to pull it off. You know, I think if they had Trace McSorley back out there,
throwing on a dime.
Yep. Like, he ain't even trying. I think they would have handled business.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they did at the end. They ended up being okay, winning 34-27. But when you're the number 8 team in the nation, you can't be almost losing unranked teams like that. And let's talk about the biggest story.
The upset.
One of the biggest upsets in college football history last week. Northern Illinois upsets number 5 Notre Dame 16-14. Absolutely stunning, the Notre Dame fight.
A shocker on a field goal to win actually.
Who could have predicted this to happen?
And the transfer from Duke, quarterback Riley Leonard for Notre Dame, hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in the first 2 weeks. He has 400 passing yards with no touchdowns. But Notre Dame has to regroup. It'll be tough. It's 12-team playoffs, so I would still say they have a chance to get in.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a tough blow in that. They can lose any other one that has Notre Dame. They still play a good schedule. But one more loss can knock them right next to Florida State.
Yeah.
Because Joe's not here. You know, we
can talk about Florida State.
Yeah. Notre Dame versus Florida State will be happening this year. Maybe that's who will get into the college playoffs. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
But Notre Dame, they have their last game of the season is USC, who's ranked 11. And that'll determine if they get in or not, which will be a good game for sure.
Yeah. We saw the debut of 5-star recruit DJ Lagway.
Ooh,
against
DJ
Samford.
Lagway.
He balled out. Definitely the perfect team to have your first ever collegiate start against. So Lagway looked really good, and there's some controversy in Florida now, some quarterback controversy. I don't know what Billy Napier's doing. I think the results should show. I love Graham Mertz. Thank you for what you did. Bench him. We need Lagway.
Lagway
is the key to success for the Gators. I mean, he's not Superman, you know. I still think it's going to be a bit of a rough year, but I think Lagway is going to be the guy that's going to give us the best chance to win, and we need to commit to him.
He's also a freshman, which will give him more years to have under his belt for the upcoming season, which should be better. And another upset game in a college football setting is number 19 Kansas losing to Illinois 23-17, which is very – very, very surprising. As Kansas has an explosive offense, apparently, in the NCAA, if you know
apparently.
About that.
Oh, apparently, yeah.
But a 23-17 loss. Jalen Daniels, the quarterback, couldn't really get things going. Had 3 interceptions this game. Threw 2 touchdowns, but you can't throw more interceptions than touchdowns.
Right.
And that's probably the problem. Illinois shows Kansas isn't all of that.
Right.
And you can go on to Rock. Well, Rock Chalk had to come to them, but the Kansas Jayhawks, they're not what we think they are. And I think that might be the push. They won't be in the Big 12 playoff run, which is kind of sad because I like those guys on, you know, just from games, you know.
Yeah. Syracuse taking down number 3 Georgia Tech, 31-28.
I don't think Georgia Tech was number 3.
Number 23.
Oh,
number 23. Yeah, definitely not number 3. But, a little upset there, you know. Georgia Tech was definitely still high off that that win against FSU. Then they end up winning the next week, but Syracuse maybe humbles them a little bit, giving them their first loss of the year.
You know, humble like the Super Bowl performer. Be oh, humble. Oh.
Kendrick Lamar announced for this year's Super Bowl.
Yeah,
definitely gonna be a great performance. You know. He was there a couple years ago with Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, and Eminem. That's personally my favorite Super Bowl performance ever. That was amazing. I love seeing that.
Yeah, we'll get more into that as we get into the NFL. But one last game that was a very good game, a shootout, Oregon versus Boise State, 37-34. The running back for Boise State, absolute Heisman watch. Let me make sure I pronounce this right. Ashton Jeanty had 25 carries, 192 yards, and 3 touchdowns. If you look at some of the plays he had, he looks like a glitch out there. They can't tackle him, can't bring him down. He's built like Dalvin Cook when he played for FSU. That's what I see.
I have nightmares of Dalvin Cook at FSU.
Yeah, and the guy can really run. But Oregon pulled out the win against the unranked Boise State, which kind of shows the Boise. I think Oregon isn't all of that. You know, they started off ranked number 4, I believe, dropped down to number 7 after they barely beat who was it? They barely beat Idaho.
Yeah.
They won 24-14.
Yeah, it was a close game.
And it's kind of rough, you know, seeing them going into shootouts with the unranked teams, which you don't want to see that from a team that's supposed to be a championship level team.
Yeah, I mean, they almost made it last year with Bo Nix. Bo Nix had a Heisman level season, but you know, it's a different year. He's not there anymore, and Oregon not as good this year. They might fall off. They might fall off this year.
They might fall off. But you know who won't be falling off?
Oh,
those Alabama Crimson Tide. As we get into this week's schedule, our top games for this week in the college football scenery. First, we'll give you tonight's game, one of the only games this week. Tonight, Arizona versus Kansas State.
Ooh, this is going to be a good one.
Two 2-0 teams, 20-ranked Arizona and a 14th Kansas State. You know, these are the type of games where push you where you're on the bubble of getting in.
Yeah.
It's early in the season, but still on the bubble of getting in. And this will
this is a big game. It's a big game earlier in the year, you know, number 20 versus number 14. I think it'll be a good one. I think Arizona's going to pull it off tonight.
Arizona, you know, I don't really know who's on either of these teams. But, you know, I just hope for a game that'll really shake up the scenery in the playoff scenery.
Yeah.
You know. But also, we have tomorrow, 12 o'clock, Alabama travels to Wisconsin to play the Badgers on Fox. The big noon game. I think Alabama will win this one.
They should. They should be able to get the job done, although Wisconsin is looking solid this year.
Wisconsin is looking solid. Also, we have LSU versus South Carolina. A 1-1 LSU versus an unranked South Carolina who's 2-0. I think this will be a very good game, too.
Yeah,
South Carolina has a good freshman quarterback. Their running backs pretty good. They run the ball very good there. But LSU is still a powerhouse team to play against.
Yeah.
LSU actually has the spread of 6.5, which I don't think they'll cover that spread. I think it'll be a 3-point game.
Yeah.
And then we have Boston College versus Missouri.
This should be a good one.
This should be a good one. A team that beat Florida State and a Missouri team who's really trying to show everybody that they're
legit.
Legit.
You know, they got to show that they deserve that number 6 spot right there.
And I feel like Missouri will win this one. They have them as a 15-point favorite. And
15-point favorite.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It's kind of disrespectful to Boston College.
Definitely. I definitely feel a little disrespectful. I'd like to see Boston College pull the upset, but I don't think they will.
Yeah, I don't think they will either.
We got Oregon and Oregon State. We got a classic rivalry Pac-12 game.
Pac-12 rivalry.
Unfortunately, it's not rivalry week anymore, but we get it now. We get it a little early. Oregon versus Oregon State. Oregon's probably going to get the job done, but I definitely do think Oregon State's going to give them a run for the money, especially we've been talking about how Oregon hasn't been as good this year so far.
Yeah, but also we have, you know, a team that I don't think I see him. Oh, there it is. Florida State plays this week at home, 12 o'clock tomorrow, against the 2-0 Memphis team that, you know, I don't know how it's going to go because Florida State hasn't showed us anything.
Nothing, I mean.
And looks like they're playing around with water guns at practice still, you know, like some kids at a birthday party, which is not – that's not what you want to see when you're trying to get back and really show people that you're made of something.
Yeah, I mean, Uiagalelei just – hasn't looked good at all this year. He's no pocket presence. Just doesn't seem like he's just – it's definitely weird. He was solid last year for Oregon State, as we were just talking about them in the Oregon game. And as soon as he gets to FSU, he just fumbles. He fumbles the bag. He – you know, everybody's dogging on him right now. Is he the sole reason FSU is 0-2? No, but he's definitely a big part of it right
now. Yeah, he definitely is. And I feel like this is like the game of the week, the talk of the week. Texas A&M versus Florida, which I think this will be my prediction of the day. Florida will lose to Texas A&M.
You know what? If we commit to Lagway, I think we can get the job done tonight. I think it'll be a closely contested game. Not tonight. Tomorrow night. But, you know, it's tough to say, especially how we came out up against Miami. But I think it's going to come down to who we start at quarterback.
You know, that is one of the factors into if you will win the game. But also, I feel like Cam Ward said the swamp isn't loud enough. And Texas A&M is traveling to the swamp. But I think they can get it done, you know?
Yeah.
Because Florida really has to show that they beat Samford. Yeah, you paid to play them. You better beat them.
Yeah.
But this is a real –
Notre Dame.
This is an SEC game, conference game. This is a – if Florida really shows up and shows they can win by at least a touchdown, I feel like more people will respect the Florida Gators. But as of now, I don't respect you. And you gotta really show me something. Okay, Bacon?
All right.
So no, when we come back for next week, you know, I just hope it's a good game because I want to see a good game. I want to see Lagway play. I want to see how Texas A&M is after losing one of their best receivers to Oregon. And, you know, it'll be a tough one to watch.
For sure, for sure.
But as we wrap up our college football talk and head to our first new segment of the year because we missed it last week before the week one, we get into some NFL talk, you know.
Man, it was a good week of football. We had some good games, some interesting games. And, I think we should immediately start off with that that Thursday night game. A little bit of controversy with this one.
It hurt my soul to watch this game.
I was watching it after I got off work, and I saw what at first was called a touchdown, and I was excited to see this game go into overtime. Unfortunately, his toe was just out of bounds, costed the Ravens a game. Isaiah Likely still had a great game. Nine receptions, 111 yards for one touchdown, almost two touchdowns. I mean, absolutely fantastic game to start off the season.
You know, before we get into the full NFL talk and, you know, transition to everything, I want to make sure we talk about our sponsors, Body Armor. Amazing Body Armor that we really love Body Armor. They provide us with good drinks.
I just had a orange mango earlier. It was amazing.
Amazing.
Amazing. We also had some Berg's Lemonade earlier.
Berg's Lemonade. Also here down at the Ferg's Clubhouse, 19th Studios, across the street from Tropicana Field, your home of the Tampa Bay Rays, which, you know, won't be in town this weekend, but they'll be back next week to finish off their last home games next week, which will be kind of sad. I'll probably make it one of those.
I'll try and come to the last for sure,
because, you know, it's probably be some of my last moments at Tropicana Field as I, sadly, I'll be in college. but I want to go check out my Rage. Yeah, no, I need me some more Dippin' Dots, too.
Oh, man, I love the Dippin' Dots. I love the Dippin' Dots guy.
You know his name?
No, but he's like, what's up, boss? You know, that's my guy.
You know, I just want to say one thing before we get into our NFL Can we lower the price of the Dippin' Dots, please?
Oh, my God. $10 for a large?
$10 for a large is kind of crazy.
It's crazy.
I can go get me a whole, you know, whole thing from Publix for about $4.
But you know what? I still pay.
You know,
no matter
I,
what
I
the price,
pay.
I still pay.
The Dippin' Dots slaps in the moment.
Yeah, they slap. They slap. Slaps my bank account, too. Anyways.
Yeah, but as we get into our NFL segment, let's start off. As you were talking about Isaiah Likely, let's talk about fantasy football and how Isaiah Likely took over the scene of fantasy football. Do you have a fantasy team first?
I do. I do. My fantasy team's name is Henry Ruggs Driving Academy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, anyway. Yeah, so my fantasy team sold this week.
Oh, you lost this week, huh?
My number one pick, Puka Nacua. He's out for a few weeks, but and then another thing, I replaced him with Keon Coleman. Keon Coleman put up 0 points for me against the Dolphins.
Oh wow!
Start off
well,
week two, so.
You know, as we're talking about week one, my fantasy team won. But you know, Mark Andrews, I got a few words for you, Bucko. You're the number one tight end, right? You're projected ADP number three. What is going on, man? Two catches. I know Lamar runs the ball a lot, but gosh, you were like you're like the best pass catcher on the team, and you can't get the ball, which is kind of upsetting me. That's why I wanted to start on the fantasy football before we talked about this game, because even though I won, which I'm very happy, Mark Andrews, you got to really straighten it up. Also, for my team last week, I have Tua, and Tua played pretty good last week, but last night, we're not going to talk about what he did last night. Gang signs, man.
Man, sad to see. There's very much a possibility we just saw Tua's last game.
He's pretty slow, so I think he'll be back. But I also want to talk about Brandon Ayuk. Gosh, you skip all the training camp trying to get a paycheck. You get a paycheck, and you don't show up. Like, what's going on, man? And then the other thing I heard about Brandon Ayuk before the season, they had a trade in place to send him to the Steelers, and they said either take this contract or go to the Steelers. And you know what he said?
What?
He's just going to take the contract.
Wow.
So you did all of that for no reason. And then Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, he got the ball a lot last week. That was my RB2. I feel like they don't play him enough. You know, he's the more explosive guy, and they still put David Montgomery
out there. Hey, Montgomery definitely won that game
in
overtime. He came up really clutch.
As we talk about this, though, the Chiefs kind of they started off dominating in the first game of the season. Started off with an opening possession touchdown. The rookie, Xavier Worthy, you know, the guy that can only run straight, apparently. And they kind of took over this game. Lamar Jackson had to play from behind the whole game. They were down 10. Then they were down. They tried to go score a touchdown, but they just had to settle for the field goal in the fourth quarter. And then Patrick Mahomes couldn't, you know, hold the ball out, giving the Ravens the ball back. And Lamar Jackson, it looked like he was kind of too – the moment was too bright a little bit. Because he was moving a lot around in the pocket, you know. It felt like he was just too jittery. But he was still making plays. He was moving the ball down the field until that last pass where Isaiah Likely turned into Kevin Durant. And his toe was too big, you know.
Man, just barely out. I was excited. I really wanted to see this game go into overtime, but of course, the review clearly showed his toe was out, just barely. Tragic. I mean,
and you know what's crazy? Lamar Jackson had as many completions as Patrick Mahomes has pass attempted. So it's not like Lamar was just running the whole game, as he did have 102 rushing yards. But he really showed Lamar's really dynamic. He can really. Once he really gets the win under his belt that shows that he's a game changer and wins against a top quarterback, I feel like people start putting him back up in that conversation.
Yeah, I mean,
with Patrick Mahomes,
he had 273 yards and a touchdown. He, you know, solid game, but definitely at some times he failed to come up clutch a little bit. But you know, I think he'll be fine. He's a 2-time MVP. But yeah. Tough loss here to start for the Ravens. They'll bounce back. It's only week one.
Yeah, that was our first game of the season. As we get into our second game in Brazil, in a terrible. Mark that. Hey, Pete Fairbanks, how would you explain that? Mark that down all caps.
Mark that horrible. Down all caps. Horrible.
The field was horrible. That field was horrible.
Oh my goodness.
I wouldn't say that blame Jordan Love's injury, but the field was horrible. You could literally see like the concrete under
it. Yeah, it was terrible.
I feel like you sent the players down there into a hostile environment that's not really safe in Brazil. The players didn't want to play there. Devin White obviously didn't want to play there.
No. I don't think he wants to play anymore. Man. I think he's done with football.
Nah, he still got some good years in him apparently, but yeah, the Eagles win this one 34-29 over the Packers, where the Packers were driving at the end, and Jordan Love kind of got hurt. He'll be out for 2 to 4 weeks. It's kind of a bad injury to see after a kid that took over for Aaron Rodgers. Really looked good last year, except for against the Bucks. And I like the guy Jordan Love. I feel like he's a franchise quarterback. I think did he get paid? I think he got paid.
He did, yeah, he got. I think he's the highest paid quarterback now.
Highest paid.
He might be.
You know, they paid him a lot of money, but he got injured as this game. This was a Saquon show.
Yeah, oh my. Saquon and his debut for the Eagles just absolutely balled out. It's Dak Prescott. He's the highest paid right now. But, yeah, Saquon Barkley made a great impression here in his first game as a Philadelphia Eagle.
He did. I know it made the Giants feel sick, and I know it hurt Daniel Jones, too. As Saquon rushed for 24 carries, 109 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Adding on to that, I think he had a few catches in the backfield, too. Let me make sure. He had 2 catches for 23 yards. He had 3 touchdowns. Took over for the Eagles. Jalen Hurts threw for 278 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, though. And then A.J. Brown really had a good game. 5 catches, 119 yards for a touchdown. Gosh, Jair Alexander, you're burnt toast every play, man.
Yeah.
Getting pretty old. You're pretty getting washed up. You can't guard Mike Evans. Well, we know that.
Oh, yeah.
But
you
can't guard A.J. Brown. Can't guard Devontae Smith. It's looking kind of bad for the Packers secondary right now. And then as we also talk about, the Packers did score 29 points. Jordan Love threw for 260 yards, 2 touchdowns. Josh Jacobs in his first game with the Packers rushed for 84 yards, no touchdowns, though. Jaden Reed took over the scene.
He had a great game. 4 receptions, 138 yards, 1 touchdown. He put out Randy Moss-type numbers right there.
Randy Moss-type numbers. And very good game. It's just, I just don't want to see the NFL. I don't think they should go back down there.
No, I don't think they should go back down to Brazil either. Especially with that field and all the thing about, why would you send, there was a whole thing about the team's not allowed
to wear
green, but why are you sending two teams that's main color is green out to Brazil then?
You could, I'm not saying send our guys, don't send our guys, send the Panthers and the Saints down there. They could have played down there.
Yeah.
I mean, but I guess it's a fan base type thing. The Eagles have a lot of fans around the world, so do the Packers.
Yeah.
So I guess I can understand it from that. But as we get into Sunday, which was our main slate of games, Sunday was a kind of a blowout day, but mixed in with some very good games at that, too.
Yeah.
Your first game, the Vikings versus Giants, we kind of knew how this would go. Daniel Jones, he needs help, needs an old line, needs more playmakers. He can't do it by himself. You know, he played good when Saquon was there, but that's when you had a running game. Now when he's forced to get back there to drop back and pass, he looks uncomfortable, he looks scared, but he is coming off an ACL injury, which is kind of bad. You know, I hope to see them bounce back, but I think the Giants have another bad year and they'll be drafted.
I don't see them winning more than 3 or 4 games, honestly. It's tragic to say, but I mean, I hope Malik Nabers has a great rookie campaign here. He did okay. 5 receptions, 66 yards. Could have done better, but of course the whole Giants as a team could have done better. They didn't even get a touchdown, so
28-6 loss again. Aaron Jones scored in his first touchdown for the Vikings here, and Sam Darnold started off the game 12 for 12, a backup quarterback in the NFL, played better than Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate with J.J. McCarthy going out before the year, but I'm excited to see if Sam Darnold can maybe show we still got some left in the tank. You know, maybe back year.
Yeah, Jay Jettas, 4 catches, 59 yards and a touchdown. It's good to see him back.
Yeah.
He was kind of prolonged with an injury all last year with the hamstring injury, but he's back, and I feel like the Vikings still have a good squad. You know,
yeah, I mean,
they still have good players.
Aaron Jones had a good game here, 14 carries, 94 yards with a touchdown. Solid debut there for him with the Vikings, so excited to see what he's going to do in a purple uniform.
Yeah, it'll be exciting to see. As we transition into the Saints versus Panthers, which was just an absolute domination.
Not much to talk about. They made Derek Carr.
Derek Carr looked like
an MVP quarterback.
Derek, you know, this looked like a college game, like a FCS versus FBS. You know.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good way to put it. I mean, the pants. I poor Bryce Young, man. Absolute dog in college.
I mean, you know what hurt me? I was watching Red Zone, so you know they showed some highlights. The guy's getting blitzed by 6-7 people, and there's nothing he can do about it because his receivers can't get open.
Yeah.
O-line can't pick up the block. You know, it's a corner for the Saints. Had 2.5 sacks. He leads the league.
Yeah, I saw that. I couldn't believe that.
It really pains me to see a young quarterback with not much help or development, you know, going on. And the Saints really just dominated. They sent pressure. Couldn't do anything. Bryce Young was just...
They have a good defense.
Hornswoggled in the paint.
Yeah, they have a good defense. You know, Chase Young made his Saints debut. You know, they still have Tyrann Mathieu. Who's the other guy I'm thinking of?
Cam Jordan.
Cam Jordan. He's been great. Marshawn Lattimore?
Yeah, Lattimore still plays,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
We hate that guy.
Oh, yeah, we hate that. Mike Evans, number one op.
Bryce Young was sacked 4 times in this game, threw 2 interceptions.
I want to see him do good. He was great at Bama, and it sucks to see. It really sucks to see a very talented quarterback maybe just has no help.
Yeah, no help. As Alvin Kamara rushed for 83 yards. Derek Carr only threw for 200 yards, but it looked like he threw for 400 because he was just throwing a ball. He 19 for 23. Perfect passing. He had a 142 passer rating. He had basically a perfect passing game, 19 for 23. 4 incompletions. I bet those 4 incompletions probably were on drop passes by one of their players because, you know, they don't really have nothing. Olave only having 2 catches for 11 yards is what really upset people, though. Because a 47-10 blowout, you would think your best receiver, you know, really dominated. But
yeah,
I mean, he didn't have much to show this game.
Yeah, for sure. He had a little bit of a rough year last year, too.
He did have a rough year. As this next game is the Steelers versus the Falcons, which was a kicker game, I should say.
Yeah, not a single touchdown scored by the Steelers. And Justin Fields' first start here. Russell Wilson was out for the game. He was the emergency third-string quarterback. If you saw, he was wearing his uniform on the sideline. But yeah,
he was trying to get into the game.
He definitely wanted to get in, but there's apparently the plan still is to start Justin Fields in week 2 this weekend. So
I think Justin Fields really managed the game very well, how Cam Newton would say.
Yeah,
he managed the game very well. He kept them in the game. He kept them a lead also. That's another good thing. Playing with a lead, Mike Tomlin could play more conservative. Because if they were down, they probably would have made them pass more. Probably would have made more mistakes. And I feel like Steelers played a really good game. I also feel like the Falcons really showed that these offseason moves weren't it.
I mean, the defense played good, of course, not allowing a touchdown. But Kirk Cousins did not look good here in his Atlanta debut.
He looked under pressure a lot.
Definitely. I really hope that Justin Fields ends up winning the starting spot. I really want to see him succeed. You know, he had a rough start with the Bears. And obviously he didn't have the best game, but like you were saying, he managed it well. And I hope the Steelers keep going forward with him.
Yeah, 18-10 win for the Steelers. The next game, we'll kind of skip through some of these maybe. The Jaguars lost to the Dolphins, which was
kind of
bad.
On a game-winning field goal, I believe. Is what they won that one on. Yeah, 52-yard as the clock went down. Yeah, Jason Sanders. It was a good game. Jaguars are honestly a big question mark this year. They started
Travis
the year
Etienne
well.
Travis fumbled at the goal line
also. Yeah.
Which was a heartbreaker. You know, the Dolphins' offense never really kicked it up, but they say Tua really spoke up at halftime and really changed the narrative in the locker room. And his boys rallied behind him as they got the win here. Tua threw for 338 passing yards. He really managed the game very well.
Yeah, he played good. He had a good game.
Tyreek Hill, 80-yard touchdown after one of the craziest Sundays in his life as he was arrested
and
right brutally before. Thrown, beat down. Kind of beat down.
A little bit of upsetting situation there, you know, getting thrown out of the car and arrested before a game. And looks like that cop looks like his career's over.
Yeah, it looks like his career be over soon, as he's really threatening to sue the Miami PD if he doesn't get fired. But a very tough Sunday for him and his teammates. But you know who else it was a tough Sunday for?
Who's that?
Deshaun Watson. Another allegation.
Another allegation.
Another allegation. Another loss. No passing touchdown.
Like, terrible. I mean, no passing touchdown. Is this karma? Is this karma?
I think it's time to move, you know. I don't know. But his career is going downhill ever since the one playoff run with the Texans, which was, you know, the Texans are playing better than he is right now.
And they have that trade that they have made is one of their best moves they made in their franchise history.
Yeah, and a good thing to see is Ezekiel Elliott, another touchdown with the Cowboys. Yeah. He's back home. I feel like, you know, regaining his career again. You know, some people just need a reset.
Yeah, and a new number too. He's back in his college number 15 that he wore on the Pats last year. It's good to see him back in the Cowboys. You know, even though I don't like the Cowboys, but I do like Zeke. It's good to see him back in Dallas.
The Seahawks beat the Broncos 26-20. The Bills beat the Cardinals 34-28. Which Josh Allen, they were down. I thought they were going to lose it, but Kyler Murray couldn't keep the lead. He had Marvin Harrison wide open on the
last
play.
Did Marvin Harrison have a single catch?
Yeah, one catch.
One catch, yeah.
In the press conference, he says, well, he's supposed to go through his reach. He's not obligated to throw it to one person. But, you know, when you have a guy as talented as Marvin Harrison, I believe he should have at least three catches.
I mean, it's Marvin Harrison.
They weren't doubling
him. He's supposed to be the next big thing. And I think that's a completely ignorant thing to say for Kyler Murray. You know, I like Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
I want to see him do good, but you can't be saying stuff like that, you know, in your press conference. You got to respect everyone. You got to respect the teammates. And, you know, you got to know what you have. You know what I mean? You got to be thankful. That's a great weapon that he has right there that he needs to use.
Yeah, Kyler Murray, 21 for 31, 162 yards, one touchdown, 5 carries, 57 yards. Keon Coleman, the rookie from FSU, was the leading receiver for the Bills. 4 catches, 51 yards. And James Cook, you know, they keep feeding James Cook a lot.
He's
like the whole offense, you know. Yeah. Kind of like his big brother Dalvin was before, in his first few years in the league, before he kind of, you know, fell off a cliff.
Unfortunately, that's what joining the Jets does to a man. Ruins his career.
Yeah, ruined another guy's career. But we'll speak about him later. The Patriots... kind of, I would say this, upset the Bengals.
Oh, definitely. That was a crazy play. The fumble.
Yeah, fumble. I think that was going to be their first touchdown.
Yeah, that was an absolutely absurd play. What are your thoughts on the all-orange Bengals jerseys?
You know, that's for Uni Talk, man.
That is for Uni Talk, you're right.
But, those are pretty clean. But Joe Burrow's getting a lot of backlash for his wrist. Looks like he can't pick up a water bottle nowadays, but I get off the man's tip, man. Let the man play ball. You know, the Bengals always start off slow, though. But that's not a good thing, but they always do. And I feel like they'll bounce back.
They'll bounce back, man.
Last night took an L, but tonight I bounce back. Meek Mill.
Pause. Diddy?
No Diddy. No Diddy. The Titans beat the Bears.
Bears beat the Titans.
The Titans should have beaten the Bears.
Yeah, they should have.
But you know, when you score no touchdowns on offense, you would think you win the game, right, Bacon?
Right.
But 24-17 loss for the Titans as Will Levis threw a pick, and he has the picture of the year with his hands above his head. You know, I feel like that's a rookie mistake in his second year, which is kind of bad. But the Titans look good. Until they just started giving up all the luck.
Caleb Williams had a bit of a rough debut, only 94 passing yards. I think he'll be fine, but, you know, at the end he was able to lead his team to victory, which is all that matters.
Bears really started to come back after the block punt that was recovered by Simone Biles' husband, Jonathan Owens. And then they scored a few field goals, and then a pick six really sealed the deal for the Bears. Scoring no touchdowns is not a good thing to see. You know, you can't win every game like that every week. But I hope to see Caleb Williams play a little better, spread the ball out more, and really look better. I think the game of the week for me, which had the most excitement altogether, was the Texans versus Colts, where the Texans pulled it out. 29-27.
And great quarterback battle. Anthony Richardson in his first game back from injury was great. which is good to see. You know, as a Gator fan, I love to see it. I love to see it. He played amazing.
Threw a lot of good balls.
Yeah, it was just
only had 9 completions, but his 9 completions were very good.
Yeah, it was it was just a great game in general. I think this was definitely one of the best games of the week.
Yeah, C.J. Stroud and his loaded squad of offense really, you know, showed they're the truth, you know. And C.J. Stroud led his team to victory, 29-27. The Chargers beat the Raiders, which was a very boring game in my opinion.
Good way for John Harbaugh. Wait, is it Jim or John?
Jim
Harbaugh to start off his NFL. Well, not his NFL. His NFL return, I should say. Good way for him to start. Looking forward to see what else the Chargers can do.
Justin Herbert looks good after having some injuries in the preseason. The Raiders, they never really got it going. Gardner Minshew, you know, never really did much. One thing to say, Jacoby Myers was the leading receiver, and you know, you got Davante Adams on the team.
Yeah, that's absurd.
So you want to see more. Well, Davante had 2 less yards, but Brock Bowers was really the steal of the show, having 5 catches that game. But, you know, the real game of the week, in our opinion.
Buccaneers.
Dominating.
Washington in this one, 37-20. Baker Mayfield had one of the best games of his career. It was the debut of Jaden Daniels.
Actually, wasn't his best, because technically his best was against the Packers.
I mean, one of his best. Yeah,
one of his best for sure.
Definitely. 4 touchdowns, 289 yards. How many rushing yards did he have in this one? No INTs, which is
always that's a good thing. 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Yeah. Baker had 3 carries for 21 yards. But this shows more than that. Baker broke a lot of sacks. He only got sacked 1 time. He should have been sacked like 3 or 4.
Oh, for sure.
But Baker really showed his elusiveness in the pocket is what I really like to see.
Yeah. Chris Godwin, 83 yards. He looked really good. Godwin, how many touchdowns did he have this game? He had one. He looked really good. Yeah, Mike had 2. Mike Evans had that first, which was an amazing catch. I actually couldn't believe he caught that.
Yeah, over Benjamin St. Just.
I mean, Godwin looked really good. Evans looked good. McMillan, even though he dropped that first one, he definitely recovered with that last touchdown pass there to really seal the deal here for the Bucs. I'm really excited for this year. You know, we played really well. I want to give props to Jaden Daniels for what, you know, he didn't get a passing touchdown. He had 2 rushing, but, you know, for what he had to deal with the defense, he played really well. 17 completions for 24 attempts, 184 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, and 88 yards, 16 carries. Great day, not great debut, solid debut there. Couldn't get the job done as the Bucs just really dominated this one.
Yeah, the Bucs dominated, but we also had a lot of bad in this game as we came out with a lot of injuries from our big time players like Zion McCollum with a concussion, Antoine Winfield with the boot on his foot.
Bryce Hall's out for the year.
You know, I didn't know that, but
he broke his leg.
Yeah, Antoine Winfield got hurt in the last 2 plays of the game. Like, he shouldn't have been out there anyways, which I would say I want to put that on the coach, but that's unfortunate to happen.
Yeah.
Because you really wouldn't expect that, but I feel like that those are some of the things that coaches can stop from happening. Right. As we get into our last 2 games, who also got an injury, the Rams versus Lions. Lions winning 26-20 in overtime, which they – it's kind of a back-and-forth game.
This was a fantastic game. I mean, David Montgomery, though, called game in overtime. He was unstoppable. I couldn't believe it. Insane. Unstoppable.
Very insane. But the big loss in this one was not the loss in the game, but the loss to Puka Nacua, which the Rams will be out without for at least 4 weeks, placing him on IR.
RIP my fantasy team, man. That was my number 1 pick. I might be cooked.
Yeah, you're definitely cooked. You're definitely cooked.
Keon Coleman had a 0 points to start off week 2. I might be cooked.
You might be cooked. But you know who's cooked more? The Jets. The Jets are cooked because Aaron Rodgers really didn't look too well in his first game back as they lose 32-19 to the 49ers. And 49ers really dominated the whole game.
Yeah, I mean.
The one touchdown, Alan Lazard caught 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
But one of them came from Tyrod Taylor. Why is Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah, well, I mean, I get it. I mean, they don't want to risk injury from Rodgers, especially coming off the injury last year. But, you know, I say it is good to see him back, even though he didn't have the best game. It's just, you know, I hope the Jets are solid. I hope they're a good team, you know. But not an impressive showing, although they did play against the 49ers, who are arguably the best team in the league right now.
Without Christian McCaffrey.
Without McCaffrey.
Who's dealing with Achilles tendonitis, but his backup really stepped in.
Yeah.
Jordan Mason with 147 yards and a touchdown.
Really good. Really good game. Absolutely.
Looking forward to see what's going on in week two. As we do a little week two recap before our show ends. Our Bucks versus the Lions, a rematch of our last game, which was a heartbreaker.
Ooh, heartbreaker.
Carlton Davis on the Lions now. We're going to burn him.
Yeah.
He's going to be a track meet. He can't catch up. Mike Evans touchdown for sure. I will definitely put that in as a lot of the game. Chris Godwin's also going to be playing differently in this game, as he wasn't really playing a slot with Dave Canales at OC. But I feel like our offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen, is really going to be the reason why we win this game, as I state we're going to win.
I think the Bucs already look a lot better with him than Dave Canales. So I'm really excited to see what we're going to do this year with our offense. And I'm just really excited for this year. Real excited.
I'm really excited, too, as some other notable games. At 4:25 on Sunday, the Chiefs play the Bengals, which should be a good one if Joe Burrow and T. Higgins. If T. Higgins plays, I think T. Higgins has to play for them to be able to win.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Definitely looking forward to watching that one.
And then another game to look out for is the 49ers versus the Vikings, which was a close game last year.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Was that when they had Dobbs? They had Dobbs at that point?
No.
No, okay. This was before Josh Dobbs.
Yeah, but another good game to look out for. A lot of, Caleb Williams, before we go, his first primetime game against the Texans at 8:20 on NBC. That should be a good game if he can. I want to see a shootout here.
I hope Caleb Williams has his first showing so we can really see what he can do here in the NFL. I'm really excited to see. Should be a good one there.
It should be a good weekend of football. Some notable college football games between the Gators. Alabama has an okay one. Not many college football games, but NFL schedules looking very good. You know. Just really hope to see those Bucks beat the Lions and come back good for Victory Friday next week on Bump That Media as we transfer into, you know, some uni talk before we go, you know.
Yeah.
Talk about our jerseys. What you got on today, Bacon?
I got a Reebok white Mike Allstott jersey.
Hall of Famer for the Bucks.
Hall of Famer. Bucks Hall of Famer. Hopefully one day he'll be in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
The last ever fullback.
You know, I have somebody who will be in the Hall of Fame.
The GOAT.
The GOAT.
The GOAT.
The man.
The myth.
The myth.
The legend. The guy. The other guy from Space Jam. The second Space Jam, which isn't as good.
The guy who scored 1,000 points in Space Jam.
LeBron James.
LeBron James. I got me a gold, a primary color with purple. Kind of a peanut butter jelly time.
Yeah, boy.
LeBron James jersey. It's kind of small on me. I think I got it a few years back, but you know, my GOAT, LeBron, number 23 jersey, not the number 6. And
he looks better in 23.
He does look better in 23 because he is the best 23.
He is the best 23 in the NBA.
To ever play. The Bucks will be rocking. I think we're rocking white again.
White, I think white and pewter. White and pewter pants.
But some new unis that we can also talk about. Ole Miss unveiled their new white uniforms that they'll be wearing this week. On their Instagram, I'll show it to you. As they, I forget who they're playing. I think they're playing Wake Forest this week. But their new unis, all white with some blue accents.
Those are clean. I really like those.
They're really clean.
The blue and the red is just a good combo. Very clean uniforms there.
Can't wait to see these unveiled on the field.
Yeah.
Ole Miss always have good colors. You know, when you have baby blue in your color pattern,
It's pretty hard not to have a good uniform.
And it's really hard not to look clean when you're a top team in the NCAA, SEC. Can I keep going with the rhymes? I'm going clean.
Oh.
Like the LeBron jersey.
Oh.
Like the jersey for the Bucks.
Oh.
You know the Lions suck.
Oh.
We're going to beat them. I don't know, bro. But, some good uniforms to talk about. We have some more uniforms. Oregon State, I believe, Oh, Colorado A&M. I don't know if I ever heard of them. Colorado A&M with some new jerseys. We also have UTSA, which, well, we already seen these, but they're uni combo for week two, all white with the blue, with some of the blue accents, if you see here, Bacon. It's kind of clean.
Yeah, it's a clean clean look. Always love a good whiteout. Whiteouts are always fire in football, you know.
Washington State showing their unis for week two against Texas Tech, which are like all black. Ooh, forgot they were here.
Yeah.
Kind of nice, you know, not something too special, yeah, though.
I'm not a big fan. Like, if you're going to wear a black jersey, I feel like you got to go all black.
And then Liberty with some baby blues, which would be kind of nice.
Yeah, those are clean. Very clean. I like those. I think the helmet.
I think the helmet. I feel like the helmet, their helmet matches their collar other jerseys, yeah, which kind of go clean with each other, which should be pretty good. And then West Virginia coming out with their all yellows this week.
Ooh, okay. They're all right. They're all right.
West Virginia is a team looking to rise up and take over in the ACC. Colorado A&M looking like Florida A&M, yeah, with their orange jerseys.
Those definitely look like Florida A&M.
Yeah.
Oh, they're copying FAMU.
I think they want to be like us.
They want to be like FAMU.
They want to be like FAMU, you know, but you can't be like us.
You can't be like FAMU.
You feel me? Toledo having some new jerseys. They're all yellow with blue helmets.
Another new yellow one. Those ones are all right.
Yeah, Toledo. Yeah. Toledo has some good color schemes. Yeah. I feel like the more NIL money that's coming in, it's how they're getting these new jerseys.
Yeah, all these new combos.
University of Louisiana Monroe coming out with all black with the white helmets this week.
Yeah. Oh, I like that helmet.
The helmet is very nice with the logo. I think they're Warhawks, so I guess they're showing a Warhawk on the helmet. The design is very clean. And then, let's see, any more. UCF coming out with some, looks like, pride helmets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw it. It's, I don't remember what it's for, but it's not for pride.
I mean, the colors are there for it.
Yeah.
They're regular all-black jerseys with the
different helmet.
Yeah.
And other uniform news, I read yesterday the Miami Marlins, after the season, are retiring their beautiful City Connects.
Retiring.
Who I had at number one in my list. So
retiring.
Retiring them. Yeah, unfortunate news there. Some jerseys that debuted in week one, the Bengals all orange. We talked about it a little bit. I think it's an all right look. I mean, I think personally it's a little too much orange, but I think it fits them well.
I like the all orange, but you got to win in your all orange.
Oh, yeah, you got to win.
And that's what I want to see out the Bengals there. Yeah. A win, you know, to solidify that they're still there. You haven't paid Jamar Chase. I guess you're trying to get him to get paid. You want to see more value out of him, but you got to win.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, only 10 points against the Patriots, who are supposed to be one of the bottom teams this year.
In the words of Flight Reacts, they have a top defense. Their defense went up 20 overalls. And I think the defense for the Patriots are very good. And, you know, they're very underrated, but it won't last long because their offense is not powerful.
Yeah, I mean, they're starting Jacoby Brissett right now, which is no disrespect to him, but he's just not really a starter in the NFL. You know, he's been a backup most of his career. He's had some flashes, though. You know, I feel like his year with the Browns is really solid. But, yeah. Yeah.
I think as we didn't get to talk really much about week two, but we did forget to mention the game last night of the Dolphins and
the Bills,
which was very upsetting.
Dominated. Unfortunate about Tua, another concussion suffered.
Yeah, he's probably done for.
We might have saw his last game last night, unfortunately.
But he threw three picks.
Not
his best showing. He engaged contact with the man, Damar Hamlin.
Yeah, Damar Hamlin, who role reversal, I guess. I mean, Damar.
Wow.
But, yeah, unfortunate news there for Tua. Good win there for the Bills.
And then, unfortunate as we wrap up the show here at Bump Dad Media. We here down at the Furs 19 Clubhouse Studios across the street from Tropicana Field. As we wrap up here, we would like to thank everybody for listening. We would like to thank our sponsors from Body Armor and
Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola, Furs, for giving us this space to work. Any other places?
Primetime Preps.
Primetime Preps.
Shout out Primetime Preps.
Primetime Preps with the scoreboard. Be sure to check out Primetime Preps and their high school scoreboard for tonight as we end the show, you know, here at Bump That Media. Be sure to tune into the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. tomorrow on the Florida Sports Stream channel of RadioSt.Pete.com. We wish you a very great day in Champa Bay.
And we will bump to that. Oh, bump that.